You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora e te whānau, kei te whakarongo mai nei, ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on 95BFM Breakfast. My name's Rachel, and we've got actor and director on the line. Te are pakahi, morena te are pa, how are you today?
Morena Rachel, I'm good.
Hey,
cooking down in Rotorua.
Oh, mean, nice. It's good to chat with you this morning. Folks might know you from Poige, the amazing documentary you made about that incredible song, or perhaps the Herbs doco. That was the last time we spoke. But this morning we're chatting about an incredible feature film that you've made called Muru, which has got a really interesting kickoff point. It's kind of it's not a recreation, it's a response to the Uruwera raids and the kind of ongoing traumas against the folks up in Uruwera. Do you want to tell us a wee bit about how this project came to be as a starting point? Because there's so much to unpack here, and it's a brilliant movie.
There's a lot to unpack, and I thought we'd packed it up nicely with Poye by turning a three-minute song into a 90-minute film. but with this one, it started with the 15th of October and kind of a decision to bring some light, shed some light on the events that led up to that particular day. And then that was quickly, I guess that whole flame was quickly put out by Tūhoe themselves when I asked them permission. And they said, what are you doing just talking about the events of one day?
Yeah.
You dick. This has been going on for a much longer time than just one day. So we'd like to have our centuries worth of story put into this Christmas stocking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write sci-fi at the time, so I didn't really know what was going to happen. But I just stayed the course. I just stayed turning up to the cup of tea sessions with Tame and the whiteboard sessions with Cliff. And this is the concoction, really. And it's explosive, but it's intimate, it's happy, but it's all the feels.
I was trying to think about how we would talk about this, because there's so much in this film that you almost don't want to talk about before heading into it, because I think knowing not too much is good, because there's a lot to sort of be revealed within the film. But I think let's talk about Tame, because Tame Iti is in this movie playing himself. And the movie, as we've sort of touched on here, it's not, you know, a historical, this thing happened on this one day, but it's based around a bunch of different moments from history. It's also going backwards and forwards in time, which I find really fascinating. How did you and Tame come to have these conversations in the first place?
You know, you just described a lot of mental gymnastics and arithmetic there, but... And it did require imagination, but what it really required was trust.
Yeah.
And so I presented something, and then we just kept on boiling the kawakawa.
Mm.
And because we had a long established relationship, whānau-wise, we knew each other. He was able to accept I wasn't selling anything, but I just wanted to continue to give the story scope beyond its literal depiction, beyond the headlines. And I knew that there were relationships deep inside the valley that had led, that we could discover the fabric of this community. And I also knew all the red light anatomical sequencing that led to the government pushing this button.
Yeah.
So early days, you know, it was sort of like, well, what side are we in, Wellington or are we in the Whārua?
Mm.
And so the real big breakthrough and decision was to actually be in the valley, even though I'd done all this Wellington work.
yeah, totally. And I think that's what really anchors the story for a viewer as well, because there will be people who come in and watch this knowing not much beyond perhaps a few news headlines from 2007. And I think that's going to be quite a shock for a lot of viewers, what they're stepping into to see here. And I wondered how you, as a director, how do you approach the idea of telling a story that is, you know, there's inventions in the narrative here, but there's also a truth that's bigger than perhaps the events of the film as it plays out. I'm trying to not give too much away if the listeners are going, what the
Rachel,
hell is she talking about?
Rachel, I need to be marching forward out into the world using the lines that you just said, that you're nailing it. How I termed it was allegorical scope to get to a deeper emotional truth. So it's not the fact that we're not telling the truth, we're just trying to drill down into a much deeper truth. And I think, you know, again, without giving too much away, the feeling that the audience will take away, especially from the final scene, is the absolute truth, is the ongoing generational truth that has happened because the government chose to take this path. And it was a tricky thing because Michael Cullen and Tami Iti have known each other for a very, very long time. So how did we do it? We did it very humbly with a lot of open eyes and deep understanding, and also, you know, wanting to have fun on the screen as well. You know, this is, we belong to the cinematic tradition, the Jeff Murphy tradition, the Roger Donaldsons. They've given, made huge contributions to our cinematic landscape back here. And so there was always an opportunity as well to tell the truth, to have some fun, but to not be predictable, and to, yeah, to get to the greater meaning of the story.
Totally. What's the response been like from people who've seen this? And I mean from people who are close to the story. What's their response been like to this film so far?
You know, it's difficult for me because I've been with this for a long time, and we've just put a lot of ourselves into this film. So this is a real showing of who we are and the relationships we have. For people that see it, there's been a huge outpouring. It's also why I'm down at Rotorua. We had a big screening here with about 350 of Cliff's whānau last night. So, I mean, that was a big outpouring as well. And, yeah, wherever we've been able to go, being with Tame and taking it around with the New Zealand International Film Festival is like being on a wellness tour with the man. And he's been able to unlock all these new communities of tūhoe around the country.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. And everywhere we've gone, new stories and new threads have come out. So this, you know, how we got here is through a huge weave, a commitment to weave all these strands. And what it's doing now is it's weaving more strands. So it's been powerful.
It was a movie, because we saw it at the opening night of the film festival, and that was a really powerful crowd to see it with. It was, I think it was my favourite audience of the film festival, and it was just so, it was so nice to be back in the cinema and celebrating, you know, movies in the way that the film festival does so well. But for that being the opening night film, there was a real amazing energy in the space at the Civic when that was coming together. And I sort of left the theatre, and I ran into lots of people who left the theatre, and none of us wanted to talk to each other because we were all just like processing still. And I think that stayed with me for at least a week afterwards, just that really trying to unpack what had been going on and what that film sort of reveals to you. I think there is a lot in this movie that, you know, begs a rewatch, but also I think you can go in completely cold, and it's on one level an incredible action film as well. I want to talk about the cast you've got, because Cliff Curtis, amazing, Manu Bennett, you've got Simone Kessel, of course Tame Iti, we've got Roy Mata Fox. It's a pretty incredible cast that you've pulled together here. How easy was it to get people on board with this project when you were pitching it? Was it a hard sell? Was it something that people just jumped on? How was that for you?
You just described my dream list, so that's my dream cast, and the fact that we managed to nab them all just speaks to the power of my wife, who's the producer, and just in terms of locking them all in.
Yeah.
We were here to, actually, the commitment came from near and far to Tame. People really wanted to commit to helping Tame, and then when they got the script and went through it, then it was like, not a question mark, but it was a big whoa,
yeah,
you know, around the table. And when we finished our first read, it was a bigger whoa. So everyone, you know, we marched eyes open through the valley, and I guess we sort of, as we were during the march, everyone got a sense of what we were doing. But at that night, that opening night at the Civic, when it all came together for everyone, it was, yeah, it was not shell shock, but it was like, there's a lot of pride in the room as well. I don't think anyone expected 500 people to jump up and start clapping when a particular scene happened. So that was a bit of a, it actually led to a little bit of trauma for one of our actors, but in a good way.
I know the scene you mean, and it was quite, it was great to be with a crowd of people watching that for sure. This is a movie that I think everybody should go and see, and there's lots of ways to approach it, but I do think coming in knowing a little bit less than you maybe would normally going into a movie is not a bad way to approach this. But then after the film, going and doing some big reading, I think that might be the way to go about it. Someone who's on your cast list, who is a man who wears many hats and literally don't know when he sleeps because he seems to have a new project on the go all the time, is Troy Kingi, and we're going to listen to one of his songs now. Te Are Pukahi, thank you so much for speaking with us about Muru. It hits the cinemas for a general release on the 1st of September, which is just around the corner. So I hope you enjoy continuing to celebrate this amazing project, and I'll be heading back to the cinema to see it again for sure.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rachel. Kia ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.